Welcome to Let's Talk, brought to you live by the National Indigenous Radio Service, the only opportunity offered to the broader community to be informed on the issues and current affairs from a First Nations perspective. This is Bo Spearham with Let's Talk.
I would like to acknowledge the traditional owners on this land we are broadcasting on. Yama, my name is Bo Spearham, and I'm your host for Let's Talk. My guest today is Robert Henderson, proud Wiradjuri man, lives up here in Brisbane on Yagara and Turrbal country. Our yarn today is going to be around his artwork, some of the work he does with prisoners, and also his art gallery that we're at here. Right now. Before we start, Robert, can I get you to tell us your name, your mob, and where you're from?
Good morning, brother. Robert Henderson, Wiradjuri. I was born in the Eora country, but we come from around the Bathurst area. Dad and Pop were down Albury Wodonga way.
Before we get into, you know, the yarn about the new exhibition here at the Henderson Art Gallery, let's just talk a bit about what got you into art. How did you get into art and some of the work that you're doing today?
It's a bit of a long yarn. When I was six, our school up at Budrum on Cubby Cubby land, each class did an art thing. Grade one was the one I was in, and we did a self-portrait. And I ended up winning it. When the grade seven kid came in to ask for me to go up to the office, everybody thought I was going to be killed, you know. Anyway, they presented me, and I got $1 as first prize for that. And which is kind of like a grade one, having $300 or $400 nowadays, you know. And when I got home, I got accused of stealing it and punished. And not, it's kind of not believed about it. And so I just sort of stopped as far as art was concerned. I played music and all that, and was creative in other ways. But it just wouldn't go away. And it was like for the longest time, it was like a fear thing where I really wanted to do it, but I just couldn't. Anyway, it wouldn't go away. It was like an itch, you know. And then in 2011... I found myself down just over the border at a friend's place, and with an easel and a canvas, and it was looking at me, and I was looking back at it, and I ended up pushing through it and producing the piece. And it sort of snowballed from there. But, you know, I think the other thing is too, like old ones, you know, everything's for a reason, and the reason I got pulled up when I did, because I'd never be mature enough or able, strong enough to be able to handle everything that's coming through as a young person. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I don't have any regrets about that or any bitterness about that. It's just how it's meant to be.
So in 2011, pretty much done your first piece.
Yeah.
When did it become a thing? You lived with it, like you had this feeling all your life. So after 2011, it just sort of became a natural thing.
It was very... massive learning curve, and you know, it just never stops. I suppose the first learning curve for me was to accept that there was something going on that was worth pursuing. And a friend had me, you know, I was doing a whole lot of other stuff for money at the time, and a really good friend of mine said to me, you know, because I was starting to get a bit strung out head-wise, trying to be everywhere at once and all that, and he said, "Brother, you're going against culture. That's what's going on." I said, "What are you talking about?" And he said, "Well, you know, you're trying to do all these different things rather than just sticking to what you're meant to be doing. You know, that's what we do." And he was right, you know. And I said, "But yeah, but you know, if I just do that, what about the bills and that?" He said, "No, well, you know, it's not. I didn't say it was going to be easy, but you know." So I just went and I sat with it, but I knew he was right because it was very confronting. Mostly about how I had been. It was a very attractive prospect to, you know, to just do what I was meant to do. But I had to pull my head in. And so I went to my partner, Susie, and said, you know, pretty much said, "Listen, all that stuff that I'm doing now that's bringing in my part of the income, I'm going to stop that, and I'm just going to paint, and it's going to be fantastic." And, you know, and she just sort of looked at me and But she backed me. I think she said at the time, you need to do 50% of what you're doing and 50% of, you know, of painting. But I never really, never really came. It was about probably about 90% painting and just took off from there.
So in your art, I guess you could say there was a lot of maturity and a lot of growing through your art?
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of learning?
Yeah, how to deal with very strong... Like, I don't know, you know, I think... I know we're all connected and the old ones are always with us, and that was my big wake up, you know, because the work that I was producing was about massacres when martial law was established in and around Bathurst, 1823 I think it was, through to 27 in Windradyne's time. And you know, at times when I was doing the works, the one over there, I was physically ill three times, you know, when I was just laying down the waterways. That was for the Bells Falls Gorge massacre. And I didn't really know the history. It was after I'd done the paintings that I was talking to Wayne. He said, well, where's there a waterfall? You know, what's a famous on country? I'm going, I don't know, you know. So I just had a little bit of, the first thing, followed up. And then I've spoken to elders and, you know, it all is there and it all corroborated sort of thing. So, being able to deal with those energies and those ferocious, you know, the sadness and the everything, it's just, yeah, so that's, I think that's why, and I am better with dealing with it now. But it happens, you know, you just get out of your own way, let it come, you know, let them be present with you through how your hand's moving and all that. But that, it depends on the subject, like. Yeah, sometimes it's pretty full on.
Being involved in art, is the process between Aboriginal art or artists and non-Aboriginal artists, what you was explaining, like the feelings that you're getting, the feelings, the emotions, the energy that you're getting through the process of, I guess, of all the paintings that you did, but in particular, like the one you were just talking about the massacres back down on country, I guess, how could you explain those to non-Aboriginal people? Do you think that they go through the same emotions that... mob go through?
Look, I think there's a similarity. I don't think it's the same, though, because our experience with our old ones, with our ancestors, and that's not separate to us. It's a part of us. Countries where it's all the one thing. And when I come across non-First Nations people, they had someone say it yesterday, "Oh, you channel, do you?" And I go, well, I understand why you're saying that, but no, that channeling sort of idea, I think, you know, it's not about us. So whatever it is coming through is external to those people. Where this is real. It's not I guess not to say that those experiences aren't real either, but there is no degree of separation. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But in saying that, I know that I've got colleagues who are non-First Nations artists who they have the intensity, I guess, of emotion and the draining energy from working with what you do, because it's exhausting. But I haven't come across where, you know, old ones are coming through non-First or coming being present with non-First Nations and telling stories that we don't consciously know about, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Different, yeah. But all the emotion and the draining and all that, I know that's present. I've seen that. And
yeah.
I think when you get into the energies of producing work, it's like being physically exhausted. It's the same sort of deal, yeah.
This is Let's Talk. My name is Bo Spearham. I'm your host of the show today, my guest, Robert Henderson. Stay tuned to 98.9 FM.
You're tuned to Let's Talk, a weekly current affair program hosted by First Nations people for First Nations peoples. This is Bo Spearham with Let's Talk.
You're tuning into Let's Talk right here on 98.9 FM. My name is Bo Spearham. My guest, Robert Henderson. He's held at quite a big, long exhibition space in Boggara Jail.
Yeah.
You know, one of the most infamous prisons in Australia. Can you tell us a bit about how you got that connection with Boggara Jail?
Yeah. That all came about. I'd never exhibited before because it was a bit late on the scene. We had 43 pieces that were zoned to go to Rome, Zurich, London, in New York, and that was kind of the what was being put up for us to do. But the more we looked into it, you know, Europe was a bit unpredictable, and there's a whole lot of stuff that was unpredictable. I was untried. All my work's quite big, you know, transporting the one way to the first gig was $11,000 or something like that. So it was a good opportunity, but we decided we'd do it here ourselves. And so we started looking for our own place. Mm-hmm. Then we sort of worked out what commercial property prices were like. But our Wayne Weaver, our longtime friend and business partner, he's a lifer. He was in the road, and he's been running the ex-inmate tours up there for a while, mm-hmm. For years. And he's been taking young ones up there to sit down and have a think, you know, like First Nations, non-First Nations. We had a crack at seeing if we could get in there at the officers' mess, which, you know, the whole gallery thing kind of worked. It was white walls, tall ceilings and all that. Mm-hmm. We couldn't get that. We ended up in the old contact visit area out the front. So one part of it had no roof, and where the roof was in half, the other part had holes in it. So, but, you know, it was real good. So the other thing was we couldn't find a place big enough, a gallery space big enough to put that exhibition in. So, yeah, that's why we ended up there. But Wayne's been the connection, and it's been my education too around the reality of, you know, from late 80s, mid to late 80s through until present day, mm-hmm. he was rewriting the prison, sentencing code, all sorts of stuff while he was in there. So,
but for yourself, you've been working with mob in prisons for quite some time, in the juvies also.
Mm.
Is that like an art program or just going and doing a bit of mentoring? Like, what's that role?
Oh, brother, the main thing I do now is I tend to try and focus where we're going to get the most traction. And at the moment, that's out at SQCC, out at Gatton with the brothers out there. I've been out to a number of other of the state facilities, and I have been out to Juvie. They got me to do a little bit of, like when we were both out there, you know. And I don't really know. I honestly don't really know what I was doing out there. I was happy to be with the young ones and happy to have a yarn. It was loosely about art, but some of the young ones weren't even actually interested in art, so... and not to say that interaction wasn't positive. It was really good. I, you know, really enjoyed it. But I just don't know what's going on out at Juvie. It's a bit hard to tell, and I'm more about trying to get runs on the board around, you know, if we can work with corrections to reverse this legislation or to find a loophole in this legislation around brothers and sisters and young ones being able to sell their work, you know. So that's where we're sort of focused on now, and I've gone from, because we've got this exhibition on now, the brothers' work from out there, with some other stuff as well from the road. I've gone from going out there, you know, maybe one, like just because of my schedule, about once a fortnight, once every 3 or 4 weeks, to now it's a regular. I go out there as an artist every Friday. Yeah, it's deadly. It's really deadly. It's weird because they say thank you for coming, but I'm saying thank you for having me, and like in the slot, you know, it's like. But it is. It's really good. It's really good to do. And the talent out there is off tap. The mentoring that, you know, I tend to watch the mentoring rather than consider myself being a mentor. I just, because I could see, like, I'm a bit older than the most senior fellow out there that I'm working with. He's Radjuri too. But then, you know, there's the younger one around about your age sort of thing, who's coming along real well. And another brother there that, you know, he said openly to us, and keeping in mind the environment, we're in a maximum security prison, you don't show vulnerability. You know, he came out and said to us, look, you know, nobody's ever believed in me, nobody's ever shown me any sort of positive support or anything like that, and I don't know how to deal with it. He was wigging out, you know. So that sort of thing is really good. And we got one young brother, Camilla Roy lad, around St George, who's... You know, I sold another piece of his yesterday. He's on parole. He's working. He's on our books. And it means that he has money coming to him on a weekly basis. He doesn't have to go out looking for work where there is none to fulfil the conditions of parole for unemployment. He can be with family. He's on country. He's going hunting. He's going fishing. You know, it's all... Yeah, that's kind of where we're... So we're looking to build on that and to work with the brothers if they come out. But we've also got... Keith Hamburger wants to do a project with us around it's a diversion sort of thing where mob come up on charges for whatever, they go to court, they get, and if they're deemed eligible, they get two choices. One's to go do time, as you would usual, or sign up for this course, which is arts-based, and that's how they do their parole, mm-hmm. and that'll be on country. So it'll be at Scrub, and there's traditional owners that he's working with, I think down Bow Desert Way, I think up around Glasshouse.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's good, deadly. Yeah, it's really, really good. And Keith, he was the Director General for Corrections from, I think, 87 to 99. So he was there right through the riots and all that, the rooftops and that. Good man, really good man. He came out with all the details at the opening here the other night. We didn't see it coming, but he was just told everybody about it. So, really solid.
You sold one of the brothers' works. Mm. And then you also mentioned, trying to find a loophole in terms of how mob can receive money for the art that they sell and that they make inside. Tell us a bit about, that process in terms of, I guess, fighting. If you could just, make it clear, mob can't make money off their art, or...
Nobody, mainstream and First Nations. Mm-hmm. It was the Labor government, it was Judy Spence, what seemed like a knee-jerk reaction to an inquiry from the media around, and the headlines were akin to prisoners, running businesses from inside jail, which was not the case. Anyway, that's where it came in. It hadn't been in place prior to that. Like, Queensland's kind of ground zero in a lot of ways around incarceration, but they at least had that, previously. So what that now means is, like any sort of prohibitive action that they take, it makes it just go underground, mm-hmm. So there's a carpet bag, and there's carpet bagging everywhere for our art, but there's that going on, and understandably, because you've got people doing it really tough, and mob it, you've got to pay for everything inside. Mob don't have money a lot of the time. We don't expect government to change legislation. That's not what they do. Mm-hmm. And we understand that corrections got to follow the legislation. But what we're looking to do is to, put up a reasonable sort of proposition that there's positive benefits to everyone. Education, arts inside, programs being run inside. Serco do run those. That's the private one out at Gatton where we're at. And we're addressing recidivist rates, that sort of deal. And where we were starting, we believe, is the most reasonable place is to have trust accounts, but to start off with one and have the monies from that go in to pay for transport to funerals, to pay for coffins. You look at Cherbourg, they've opened up a new cemetery, but nobody's got the money to travel. It's like Woodford pays for limited range travel, very limited. You're looking at minimum about $2,500 for transport to a funeral, to and from a funeral, because that's two security staff and a vehicle for that period of time. That's only short range.
Some of them might get out, and if they have to travel far distance, they have to pay themselves once they're out, or...
Yeah, what we're looking at is along the lines of almost like a self-funded probation. Our ideal would be to have trust funds established, but we've actually got the framework there to do it. We've got the organisation there to do it. And then, make it so that the funds that come back in, while people are still inside, they could get art supplies, they could get education supplies, and maybe just top up for buy-up, nothing huge. And maybe, if there's an illness in the family or kids need something for education, maybe, have that available, emergency stuff. But then when they get out, still have it managed until probation's finished, but then have it money coming out to attend to what they need. They need wheels. They need to get their driver's license again. They need all this sort of stuff to attend to not being breached on parole and going in for the minimum, 28 days. So that's kind of where we're aiming at. There's some other stuff on the cards too, but that's where we're aiming, where we think we can get some runs on the board at the moment.
You're listening to Let's Talk. My name is Bo Spearer, and my guest is Robert Henderson, proud Wiradjuri man. We're just going to take a break, and we'll be back very soon right here on 98.9 FM.
You're tuned to Let's Talk, a weekly current affair program hosted by First Nations people for First Nations peoples. This is Bo Spearer with Let's Talk.
You're listening to Let's Talk. My name is Bo Spearer, and my guest is Robert Henderson, proud Wiradjuri man. We're here at his art gallery at 92 Ernest Street, South Brisbane, the Henderson. is the art gallery, and they also have a cafe. We'll have a bit of a yarn about. Yeah, so we just spoke a bit about the work you're doing with some of the mob inside, and also, I guess, you know, how you've had the exhibition at Boggoro Jail, and now you have your own setup, so you don't have to hire out other venues for that. Just talk a bit about, like your venue here, the Henderson Art Gallery.
I think the main thing, I do go on about this, so I'll get it out of the way. We're a self-determinant model. So the funds from the sales of the work that I sold up at Bogga Road, as well as any work that I sell here, and Susie and I actually, we had an investment property, we sold that to fund it. So my thinking is, you know, I'm coming up to 54 and I just take the responsibility on that I need to be an example, and, and I get, you know, I get to choose about how I carry myself in that. And I looked at what was the most important thing to, well, one of the most important things to me, and that was around self-determination. So we really just fiercely, we won't ever look at funding, we won't accept funding, we're fee-for-service and sale of product oriented, and then that's kind of set us aside a bit. There's a few things that set us aside. Wayne and I are both practicing artists that are commercially viable. Susie's amazing, she's something else. She's just a really fantastic negotiator and business person. So it's a good team, and Wayne's knowledge around art is phenomenal. So I'm always learning, but we set ourselves up with the focus on, our predominant focus is First Nations artists that were prisoners, first time exhibitors, you know, emerging artists, and people that just don't normally get a shot. We're getting some really nice pieces, photos sent to us from women, Arana women, mainstream, non-Indigenous, some just beautiful work, and we thought, well, women artists, mainstream and First Nations are massively underrepresented in the art scene, so we're going to have a women's only event coming. Really excited about that. But that's kind of our thing, and we are really into developing art and talent as well, rather than cherry picking those that don't actually need any help, you know. So we do education upstairs. We run social art classes and, you know, kind of more serious art classes over a 14-week period. And we do, you know, I mean, there's a range of other stuff we do. We go out into different areas and speak and stuff as well. But, yeah, then we've got Birrang, which is Wiradjuri, loosely translated, means journey to another place. So that's our cafe, Birrang Coffee. We really focus on it being somewhere that you come in and, you know, you just, the world outside goes away while you're in here, and you know, for mob, mainstream, whoever, to just be here on their own terms, and it's a safe place, you know, for everybody to be. So we get, we get everybody. It's good. We've never, I've never had a box head come at all, and which is interesting given where we are.
He's been open for...
Since July.
And within that time, you've had quite a few exhibitions. Could you tell us a bit about some of the exhibitions that you've had? And then, you know, like, that'll lead on to, I guess, the exhibition that we have, that you're holding now.
Well, when we opened, we pretty much stocked the place with my work and some of Wayne's and some of the sort of work we collected. And that went off really well. We did that for about a month, and then we have a month turnover. We have a new exhibition each month. We had a lovely bloke named Cameron Seymour come in. He contacted Sue, and he said something along the lines of, "Hello, I'm a lawyer, I'm 50, I've been painting for a long time. I don't know if I'm any good. People tell me I'm not. If I'm not, I'm going to stop, but would you mind if I showed you my stuff?" And we thought, of course. So he came in, we loved his work, he's come on board with us, and so he was the first cab off the rank. Then we had a couple of girls from up at, Cameron had exhibited before, we had a couple of girls from up on Redcliffe Peninsula, one Camille Roy and another non-First Nations artist, lovely. They were a bit spun out about having their work in a gallery in you know, close to town and all that, but it was a really good experience for everyone concerned. Then we had Wayne French from Coffs Harbour, non-First Nations artist, but he feels, you know, saltwater mob will go mad about his stuff. He just feels it, you know. And a really lovely bloke to boot. He's got a really good relationship with the TOs down south there, Then they go surfing together and whatnot. And then we got the current couple of exhibitions on. We've got Colleen Sam, who's Kalkadoon, her partner Keith Werribone, who's Camilla Roy, and Colleen does traditional works on canvas, and Keith gets those images and makes them into Ottoman furniture, which is pretty, yeah, it's seriously good. Had a lot of inquiries around that. And they're on for a month, and Colleen's actually, we were talking about what our culture's about in the arts. I think it all comes down to storytelling. Mm. If it's dance, if it doesn't matter what it is, it's all storytelling, yeah. You know? And those stories come from way back. She's coming in and making herself available each week while the exhibition's on to tell the stories of the paintings, deadly. The Seven yeah. Sisters and the Plum Dreaming and the Dingo. And yeah, it's mad. It's really nice. And the people that are getting excited about it are mob and, you know, yeah. and mainstream. It's really good. So that's brilliant. And we've got the other side. We've got former prisoner and prisoner art, because you've got to give it a title. Basically, it's brilliant art.
Yeah.
The more recent stuff is all First Nations.
Mm-hmm.
Our brothers from southwest Queensland, pretty much. But we've got work there from one brother who was in Boggo Road in 1975, Ian Anderson, I think his name is. And that piece is on paper. It's got cigarette ash, charcoal from burnt matches, and a couple of HB pencils, and that's what he's done that piece out of. Just amazing. We've got another one there, a canvas that you see with the bits and pieces taken off it. What's his name? I know the subject's name is Lloyd Reese. The artist, just name eludes me at the moment, but it was a really interesting story. Wayne introduced Lloyd Reese to the artist while they're inside the road. Mm-hmm. So Lloyd Reese was coming in and helping teach people how to paint. He died. And these two fellas were really good friends, the artist and Lloyd. And it hit him hard, you know. So out of respect, he did this massive portrait of him. But he didn't finish it because they used to have work release programs and, you know, pre-release programs to get you in touch with your family and community and all that again. They don't do that anymore. And he got out on the first day, he got out for his work release thing, and he died. He had an embolism. And the stories that go with all these pieces, I read out, you know, that speech.
Yeah.
That brother. I mean, it's heartbreaking, but it's so important for these stories to get out. So I think one of the things that we're big on is, you know, people hear the term art appreciation, they start snoring. But the reality is, you know, we kind of started art appreciation because everything's a story.
Mm.
And, you know, so if you just look at an image, it might be a pretty picture. It might just look like a whole lot of stuff swirling around. But then somebody explains the story and the motivation and the history, you know, and those parts of it, and suddenly it comes alive. So I can't wait until we can start having, you know, more of these shows. And even, you know, what they used to do in the good old days, they'd let lifers out, you know, with leave of absence to attend the exhibitions. There was one particular one where the punters never knew, but all the crew in the penguin suits serving the drinks were all lifers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, we do have precedent. I think that the fear mongering and the sensationalism that comes from the law and order ticket does a lot of damage. You know, if people knew the reality, you know, the reality is quite diverse, not just the monsters, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the experiences which brought, you know, a lot of these people to be incarcerated, you know, if they were understood.
I think there's this general idea that if you're in jail, you've done something bad, but you're right. It's offending behaviour, and what causes offending behaviour? It's not just the offence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that brother, Stalin Chen, like, you know, giggled. He's been hidden in a potato sack, in a Hessian sack. He giggled when they walked past because they thought it was a game. And that's him gone 40 years in the slot, you know.
And the art that you're helping produce and get out there is a very healing, you know, a process, you know, for some of our mob to find, you know, a sense of home and belonging.
Mm. Look, it grounds you. There's no, and it connects you to mob that you never knew. And, you know, and it's not all that Pollyanna thing. It's not all lovely, you know. People have reactions to it and all that, but it's real. I don't know anybody as a group that warrant their story being told, you know. And some of us, you know, all of it's very confronting in some regard, but my thing is, if we can produce imagery that gets people interested enough to look at it and then ask what the story is. Mm. You know, there's one sitting over there, waterfall with mob being herded over and, you know, shot and all that. And they look at it and they actually say, oh, that's really interesting. What's that about? And then you tell them, you know, like, so I've had people projectile crying, you know, because of it. But it got past the prejudices of the ears and the eyes that are usually there.
You're listening to Let's Talk here on 98.9 FM. My name is Bo Spearham and my guest today is Robert Henderson, proud Wiradjuri man. We'll be back after this break, so stay tuned to 98.9 FM.
You're tuned to Let's Talk, a weekly current affair program hosted by First Nations people for First Nations peoples. This is Bo Spearham with Let's Talk.
You're listening to 98.9 FM for the best country. My name is Bo Spearham. I'm the host for Let's Talk today. My guest, Robert Henderson, proud Wiradjuri man. Off air, you were just saying yourself and Wayne have an exhibition coming up soon or coming up?
Yeah, 3rd of March. It's off the top of my head, it's opening. Really excited. I'll have quite a bit of new work myself, but that's, for me, that's a kind of a side. The really exciting part for me is that Wayne's going to be exhibiting and, mm-hmm. As I was saying, he hasn't put work out or even, you know, been painting since his release. So it's, I've seen some of his work and now, one of the things that excites me is I don't know what his work's going to be like because he's been out for such a long time. But that sort of parallels with the brothers too, because, you know, as you know, when brothers and sisters get out, the art often stops, you know, because they've got so many other things to attend to. So part of our deal is to make it so they can continue. So that brilliant focus and that really, really exceptional work that happens inside
carries on.
Yeah, and what's that next part that as a free, you know, and self-determined individual? So, yeah, really excited about that.
Steady.
And they'll find out that he's back. When they find out that he's back, God, I don't know how that's going to go.
Also, you do prints as well.
Yeah, we do. I did my first part into those prints was with the one I did at Archie Roach.
Mm-hmm.
We did a limited edition run of them. We still got, you know, that's still sort of ticking along. But we do prints. We're just trying to find, it was about trying to find a way that people could, who couldn't afford the originals to have some of the imagery, you know. But to be honest, brother, most of the time I'm giving them away. Have this. I don't know. You know, money's important, but, you know, relationships and all that sort of thing. And you see somebody sitting there doesn't have any coin, you know, what are you going to do? So we do that. Yeah.
Now that you mentioned the piece of Uncle Arch Roach, could you tell us a bit about that and, I guess, the process of doing that? And also of the other, you know, two other art pieces that came after that and what you entered those pieces in?
Well, that was my first entry into the Archibald, and it came about, I spent a fair bit of time on the streets as myself as a young one, out and about, and, you know, when I heard City Streets, I lost it the first time over, and I still do, you know, I'm probably tearing up a bit now, because it just hits it, you know, just nails what it's like and how, you know, yeah, all that emotion. So I just had to do, you know, I had to paint him. And it was in the first, I hadn't mentioned it to Wayne's, had a look at this first sketch, I did the canvas, he's gone. And I hadn't even thought about the Archibald, honestly, at that point. It was later what made the approach. But he saw this first bits of sketch that I would do, and he said, oh, put that in the Archibald, will you? And I, nah. And yeah, but anyway, I trust him. And that's how it progressed. Archie was opening Clancestry up at QPAC there, and I must have been 14, I think.
Yeah.
And I knew John Glenn was working there at the time, and he made it so that I could get the piece in there and Archie could see it, because otherwise it was difficult. He wasn't, you know, struggling a bit with health and that. It was really something. He said he put it down in the interview we did later that went into the New South Wales Society magazine. He just said that it was a painting that got him, that it wasn't about the aesthetic, it wasn't about that it looked like him, but it got who he was. Mm-hmm. So you know, I nearly fell over. I think, you know, if I'd ever get another compliment about art, that'll be all right. I was really solid. So, and that opened up a nice, you know, just a nice friendly relationship that we touch base if he's in town or if we're down around and that with Jill. Do tend to rave a little bit about, he's a very humble fella and he's a human being, but, you know, there's just a lot of stuff that I find in common, like, you know, the energies and spirits of the trees and the animals and that. He's just, he's walking, and he's like he's in between the two all the time. Yeah, really deadly. Had a little bit of success with that, so the next year I was talking to Wayne, I said, oh, you know, what do you reckon I should do this time? Because I'm always painting mob, up until this year, actually, because no First Nations artist ever won the Archibald. So it's about representing, you know. I don't think they're ever going to let us win, but, you know, if we're putting in good work, that's a statement, and they're rejecting it, that's a statement. And that's okay. And Wayne said, oh, well, let's do someone controversial. And I just looked at him and said, oh, Foley. And he's gone, yeah. And so that was with Gary. It's a bit of a favourite with people. And then the year after that, I wanted to do, you know, again with the underrepresentation of women, and particularly our women, did Celeste. So that was really something. The most difficult subject to get to look you in the eye. But yeah, just, she's deadly. She's just a very unique individual. She is who she is. Solid. Love that. And that's sort of bringing up to this year, but I've actually done someone who I really like and admire, but they're non-First Nations. And it was like, I don't know, I was a bit concerned about that. But as it turned out, it was a good deal, and it I made a deal with myself that this one, because I was not doing mob, except for using the canvas, I was not going to do anything that I'd ever done before. So then I stuck to that, and it came off. So we'll see how it goes. And the other thing is, someone's done one of me this year too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Get back at you.
Oh, no. Looking at you, I tell you. I've seen it in progress. Yeah, they've done a good job. Oh,
that's good, that's good.
I don't know what it's going to be like standing next to it, though.
Before we wrap up, is there anything else that you'd like to add, to have a yarn about?
Oh, no, I'd just say thank you for having us. We've got a few things coming up. We're really a creative hub, as much as we are a gallery, cafe, education space. So we've got a new curator on for music, Sabrina Laurie. She comes with, her pedigree is amazing as a musician herself, but we're starting to have Sunday Arvo's musicians out the front there, so it'd be a main act and support. So have residents each month, so we've got the first 2 months lined up. We're going to do closed shows, so dinner, and because we've got Mel, our chef, has come on now, so we're doing the back of the gallery. We'll have, fingers crossed, have Archie in there and that sort of deal as well. Yeah, and some other names I just can't sort of talk about at the moment. But
that's all good.
Yeah, but the main thing is that construction next door is just about to clear that footpath, so people should be able to see us, except from straight across the road now. So, yeah, that'll be good. But, no, thanks for having us, though.
Well, we should be cheering when they start filming the units up.
We'll see.
Accommodation.
Yeah. We'll put some ads on the roof like they do on the outback roofs.
Thanks for the yarn, Robert, and for your time. Yeah,
thank you, bro.
My name is Bo Spearham, and this is Let's Talk, and my guest on the show today is Robert Henderson. Just remember, you can catch the repeat of Let's Talk 7 p.m. Monday to Friday right here on 98.9 FM.
You've been tuned to Let's Talk, highlighting the injustice from community to country, suburb to city, with a multitude of hosts: Bo Spearham, Carver Watson, the aunties Lilla Watson and Mary Graham, and Chelsea Bond. Weekday mornings from 9 till 10, it's Let's Talk, welcoming the continued sovereignty of all First Nations peoples right across the country.